Hello, everybody. Ed Raymer here with you at 8 o'clock on a Sunday night on a cold, wet, rainy Sunday night. If you're watching us on YouTube, you recognize the gentleman who's here with me. He is your Rutherford County Property Assessor, Rob Mitchell. Rob, happy Festivus.
Happy Festivus for the rest of us.
We're going to have the airing of grievances lately, later.
No, it starts immediately.
It starts. Well, if you're in county government, I guess it does. Okay. How are you, my friend?
Doing good. Doing good. Did you have a good New Year?
Good Christmas, good New Year. Connor's here. He did. I didn't do a show last week. I replayed a show with Nadine Strassen, former head of the ACLU, and was there for 16 years, I believe.
Wow.
And she's just a great guest. Common sense lady out of New Jersey, born in New Jersey. Of course, I think spent time, of course, in New York. That all kind of runs together.
Yeah.
Jersey and New York run together, but a wonderful person. But we're not here to talk about Miss Nadine tonight.
And, why not? Nadine, call in.
She may, too. She's probably thought about it since she left here. Bless her heart. We're going to talk about your Rutherford County property taxes. Many of you have noticed I posted about 3 days ago that Rob was going to be with us, and a lot of you have stopped me. We're going to touch on the property taxes as it affects you folks that rent, okay? Especially if you're in a complex, all right? And we're going to get into all that. Okay, Connor, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's kick this thing off with our usual music if we could. But for right now, my name is Evan Lee Raymer, and for right now, I am still a private investigator. Welcome aboard.
This is the Edwin Lee Raymer Show with your host, Ed Raymer, on your Good Neighbor Station, News Radio, WGNS.
This is the Edwin Lee Raymer Show, and your host, Ed Raymer. Show is produced right here at Studios WGNS AM 1450, 100.5 or 101.9 FM right here in the heart of the great Volunteer State, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And you can reach us tonight and reach Rob with your questions and comments at 615-893-1450. That's 615-893-1450. If you have a text to send us, please send it to us. Connor, they can send that to that same number, correct?
The station number.
You can see it, and Connor can see it on his screen here. Not that he's only got about six sitting around him here, so keep him busy, folks. He needs to earn the money anyway, fine young man. Of course, my guest this evening is none other than the great Mr. Rob Mitchell. And he's with us. Now, the ways you can watch us, of course, ways you hear get us, those of you who have already, hello, Carol Ann Elmore. I know you're down there in Chattanooga or Pennington Gap, is it, I believe? I don't know. I can't keep up. She watches us, and
she's going to be heartbroken because Hamilton County is no longer the fourth largest county in Tennessee.
I wonder which one is.
That'd be Rutherford County.
Nah. How about that, Carolyn? Nah. Okay. I'll hear from her on that, I'll guarantee you. You can listen. And Rob, you've got an older model car that you by choice like. I think it's a station wagon, is it?
Oh, no. It's a 1983 Chrysler LeBaron Woody Convertible.
Woody Convertible. I'm sorry. That little square rectangle, that rectangular-shaped device in the dash, that's known as a radio. Now,
yes.
You and I go back to that. Did it have FM back then? Or
it had FM. It had a cassette player, but that doesn't work.
Okay, yeah. And you can listen on plain old radio, 1450 AM, 100.5 or 101.9 FM. And you can watch us on YouTube Live. My wife listens on Alexa. She doesn't watch us live. She sees enough of me at the house that I guess a little bit of me goes a long way. Because Rob's not up here but once every 6 months. So, and we're on Facebook Live as well. I saw Angie as she left. Angela Bingham, what a fine person she is and wonderful ministry they're doing there. Every Sunday at 6 o'clock, you know, with Simplicity Live, and her and Angie Marie and Taylor, Angie Renee and Taylor, doing a great job, having great guests, and listen to them. Jason Qualls gives financial advice. Jason does a good job. He's here every afternoon through the week at 4, when time allows and sports doesn't interfere. And you can also download the WGNS app and take WGNS with you wherever you go, listen, whenever you wish. Rob Mitchell, tell us about, we were talking out there about home ownership.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best way in the world to build wealth, generally speaking.
It's the best way for a community to build wealth and for right. individuals to pass on generational wealth to their next generations.
Their children.
It's through right. property ownership.
It's typically the largest single investment a person will make in their home, in their life is their home.
It is.
Right.
It is.
Now, we were talking about folks that are in apartment complexes versus folks in regular residential housing.
Right, single family residences.
And how it affects how you are under a mandate to tax these folks. Tell us about that and the difference as to why it is so.
When the Constitution was written back in 1971, before the limited Constitutional Convention of 78, it was decided that single family residential homes, residential property, would be assessed at 25% of its appraised value.
Sure.
For tax purposes.
Right.
And that multifamily, two or more units in a structure, a duplex,
sure.
or an apartment complex or quadruplex,
mm-hmm.
those would be considered commercial.
Okay.
And commercial property is assessed at 40% of its assessed of its appraised value.
Okay.
Which is a 60% difference. Now, utility property is assessed at 55% of its appraised value.
Okay.
And tangible personal property, business equipment, desks, these computers.
Sure.
That's at 30% of its appraised value. And, of course,
sure.
there's depreciation that goes into tangible.
And then some of
property.
Us who are under the, is it $5,000 limit or $1,000 limit, I believe, on the business. I send it to you every year.
Check the box. That's the simplest thing to do.
Sure.
Just check the
box. Yeah,
and
I think
it
it's
in.
1,000. I think it may be 5,000.
Well,
I don't know.
It's going up. It's going up.
Sure.
I think it is 2,000 and 10,000. So it's
okay.
If you're between 2 and 10, you check whichever box you want. You're always subject to audit, and if they
sure.
see that you have more than the 10,000, then you'll owe the difference.
Sure. Okay.
But it's kind of like the IRS. You tell them what you make, and if they find out that you've actually made more than you said, they'll come back and they'll collect the difference.
Somebody knocking at your door, yeah. right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And Tim does the same thing. If he finds out that he'll give you a call and say,
uh-huh, sure.
Yeah, do you need to come see me?
Yeah, you guys are tight, I'll tell you. You know, I used to walk in Tim's office and – when we had our rentals and all, and he just loved to see me. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, he loved to see me because back then I'd pay a lot of them in cash. I'd never seen anyone so bold. He'd say, hey, girls, we're going to have a good lunch today. Ed's here, and I know he's paying cash, so help him out. Oh, I was tree right. I was giving suckers and lollipops and everything else. Pat's on the back, I'm telling you. No, he did not do that. He didn't, no. Not that I know of. And
he's going to be calling up here in a minute.
I don't know. He might be waiting out there for that 12-gauge shotgun, too. Good fella, by the way.
He
is a good fella. Now, tell us what's going on. Let's get back. I don't want to brush over this. The people that live in the apartment complex.
Yeah.
They feel like they're getting really jilted.
Well, I mean, we are the fourth largest county.
Sure.
People are moving here.
Right.
You know, if you don't know, people are moving here. We had 9,300 people move to Rutherford County last year.
How many?
9,300.
9,300.
Davidson County had 6,600.
Hmm.
So
that's a bunch of folks.
We are the largest fastest growing county in Tennessee. We have the largest number of people by volume, and we also have the largest percentage growth.
Right.
And that's because we are still the most affordable place around Davidson County to live. Now, possibly Dixon. Dixon County may be less. It's a little further out. Right. They're starting to have a boom as well. And they're facing the same infrastructure and growing pains that we did 20 years ago.
And now, Manchester's the same way.
Is that Coffee County?
Coffee County. Right, okay.
And Cannon County is seeing a boom.
Oh, Cannon County, I'm telling you, there's houses in places. You know, we used to go up there just periodically, the wife and I, and we did some banking up there on some houses we refinanced or whatever the case might be. And there was a fellow at a bank up there we dealt with, and every time we went up, you know, they had grown more because we didn't see Cannon County. We didn't see Woodbury every day.
Yeah.
But you go, I mean, great day. Now, down here, I go out Veterans Parkway, and if I go once every week or once every 2 weeks, there's another. Where'd that come from? It's another apartment complex.
Oh, you know. I mean, they're coming up left and right. There is a general misconception, I believe, with the public,
right,
that believe that the problem is apartment complexes.
Right.
That they don't pay enough. Now, there's only a couple of ways that you can. Nobody wants urban sprawl.
Right.
So the only way to get away from urban sprawl is to have density.
Sure.
So you have planned residential developments. You have apartment complexes.
Yeah, you have apartment complexes. So, and there's a need for that.
There is. Now, there's a balance. We have several governments in the county.
Sure.
Murfreesboro has its own zoning ordinances. Murfreesboro takes care of its own streets. Murfreesboro takes care of its own infrastructure. Smyrna is the same. Laverne is the same. And Eagleville is the same. For county government, the county government can only impact that which is not in the city limits as far as planning.
Right.
So regardless of what plan the county puts into place, as soon as that area is requested to be annexed into a city,
right,
into municipality, they immediately fall under those zoning ordinances.
And which is another thing is the impact fee on housing, houses that are built, you know.
Yeah. What
you can't just go out there and say you're going to pay $6,000 now because you're building a house.
No.
Right.
I don't think so.
No,
I don't. You got me lost.
No, well, I'm sorry. I got out of your ballpark there. But I've said many times right here on this little broadcast that I do, when we built our house, you know, we're out South Church, and it was out there in used to be County Farm Road. It's Joe B. Jackson now, and you know the roads have changed names as they've grown. But I think there was a $2,000, I believe, fee to build a house. And I said, you know, we got to pay it. This is a lot we've got. We want to build there. And I didn't have a choice to object and go to court and all that. I mean, pay it and move on, you know. And it's just that simple. We didn't have a problem with it. But now some of these people, you know, well, they're just going to pass that on to the buyer. Yes, they will. That's exactly right. As in commercial, these apartment complexes, the cost is taxed, is passed on from the owner to the renter.
The end user is who pays all of the fees and all the taxes.
Right.
So when you have somebody living in an apartment, we have to take a break?
No. Go ahead.
If you have somebody living in an apartment, and I did the math for somebody this weekend.
Okay.
$106,000.
Okay.
Is what the unit is appraised at.
Okay.
So they pay taxes on 40% of that, which means that the tenant in that apartment is paying about $750,000 a year in taxes through his rent to his landlord.
$750 a year.
Right. $750,000.
You had $750,000.
$750,000. It's like, whereas if they had a single family residential home valued at the same, it'd be about $450. So
okay.
there's a 60% difference in the property taxes generated from a commercial property, even if it's used for residential housing purposes, as opposed to a single family resident that somebody owns. So when somebody says, I live in my house, I have to pay all my taxes myself, those darn people living in the apartment complex, they can pass their taxes on to everyone else. They should pay more. They already are.
Right.
The question is, how much more do you think that these people that are struggling because they don't have the down payments
to
buy a house should have to pay in the community? You know, and that's, I believe there is an argument that every single family residential property and any property used as a residence to house a family should be at 25% based on how it is being used, not its ownership.
Right. Okay.
I mean, that's what I believe is fair. Now, you will have people saying that is going to cause us, that's going to cause us to have to raise the tax rate. Not really that much. It won't. It's the difference in what the property taxes on those few are there. It may be a penny. It may be two pennies.
Sure.
But it's not going to be substantial because the ones that can control the property tax rate is a function of the assessed value of property and how much money is being spent.
Right.
That's it. If you want to lower your tax rate, lower what you're spending.
Right.
Then your tax rate will go down. Now,
good.
There's a rub in determining why are the revenues going up? One of them is personnel. Personnel costs are going up. Insurance is going up. People need to make more money because everything else is going up with inflation. I get it. Our people are our biggest asset. They need to be paid what they're worth and a little more.
Sure.
To keep them to stay. The second question you have to ask are, what is absolutely necessary to run the government and what is things that we just want to have? County government has a very limited set of things that it has to do. It must pay for education.
Right.
Unless you take the whole county like they do in Gibson County and do nothing but special school districts, which is another way it can be done. Have to pay for administration of the courts, the judicial system. Have to pay for the sheriff's office and the jail.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pay for, believe it or not, solid waste.
Right.
That's it. That's about all you have to pay for. That's all that's required by statute. And unless you exceed what statute provides for, that's when you have to look for additional revenue sources. If you don't exceed what it says that if you do these things, county, you're going to be fine given the sources that we have for you to provide income for.
Sure.
When you go beyond that, when the county government begins to act like a city government, that's when they start to scramble for revenue sources.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just Rob Mitchell telling you how the system works.
Sure.
I can't.
This is not an opinion.
No.
It's just the way the system works.
I can't control it. I can't, the citizens need to become more involved. They need to become more involved and they need to really take a hard look at their wish list.
And you need to vote.
And you need to vote.
You have to vote.
You need to say, who is that I trust with my money?
Right.
Is it great to have something? Well, yeah, it's always great to have the extra widget over here. How much is that widget going to cost me to build, and how much is it going to cost me to maintain forever?
To maintain. There's the second rub that no one ever gets. No. Oh, we've got this beautiful greenway. Well,
you have to maintain it.
You have to maintain it. And to maintain it, that means people. It means mowing, upkeep, repairs, lawsuits, all that, okay? Rob Mitchell is our guest. He's your Rutherford County Property Assessor. And Connor's going to take us to our first break. This is Ed Raymer for the Edwin Lee Raymer Show. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged follow, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Murfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Murfreesboro Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged follow, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Murfreesboro Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Murfreesboro Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged follow, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com. All right, and we're back. And, okay, we're talking with Mr. Rob Mitchell, your Rutherford County property assessor. He's been with us a number of times. We've got good enough to come up on a cold, rainy, messy night tonight. Thank you for doing it.
Oh, no trouble.
Good holidays. Thank you. Let me ask you something. I just learned something, folks. Churches.
Mm-hmm.
Churches, as a general rule, are tax exempt.
Right.
And we have a lot of property that's tax exempt. Of course, schools are tax exempt and many other things. But churches, that's a sore spot. Are churches totally tax exempt?
No, they're not. They have to. There's a couple of situations. One, if they have excess land that is not being used for religious purposes, we assess it. If they have a coffee shop or a bookstore or something on the inside, that we will pick those up as well. We'll generally send them a tangible personal property schedule, and then we'll assess their equipment and stuff that they have in there. There's a situation where one church has a duplex that part of it is used for storage, for things for the church. The other half they use for traveling evangelists. They requested a total exemption, and the State Board of Equalization would only grant them a partial exemption. They said the part that you're using as a traveling parsonage didn't qualify because it wasn't related to the religious practices in that church.
Right.
But the part that they were using for storage was. So that was considered exempt because it was part of the church's ongoing. They had to have a place to put their stuff that they used in their services, so it qualified with that.
So now, when you say, for example, this coffee shop, okay, is the property taxed like I'd be taxing on my house? You say it's taxed.
The equipment that they use. Right, the equipment that they use in there to produce that, the coffee makers, the cash registers.
But the property itself is not.
Still. No, but just the tangible business property.
Is there a case though where some property, the physical building itself would be taxed?
Right.
Just like my house or your house.
Right. There are churches that the churches are the land and the building is donated to a church, but the ownership remains in the name of the person that gave it to them because maybe they don't maybe feel real good about just giving everything away to the church, because once you do that, you lose all kind of control. Well, in those situations where they're leasing it out, we tax it.
How could they do that and build a church if they don't own the property? They sign like a 99-year lease?
Well, they just sign a lease and build the church, and we assess it. It's not exempt.
But that's the land, not the church.
No, it would be the land and the church.
Is that right?
Right.
I don't know how anyone would build a church. I mean, if the church is a separate entity, if another group of people built that, I guess that's up to them.
It's up to them, and they have to apply for those. We don't do the exemptions.
Sure.
Those are done at the state, and in the several that I've seen go up there, they may give them a partial exemption for part of it, and then the other part they won't. And the person that actually owns the land is the one that has to pay the taxes on it.
Okay.
Right. And then it's just like a tenant situation. They're going to collect it through the rent if they don't do it for free.
So, in other words, you know, Ed can't go out here. Ed Raymer can't go out here. Well, I think I've become a pastor now, and all my property's going to be, you know, that's not necessarily as easy as it
No,
sounds.
It's not, because what you would have to do is you'd have to prove that you're a church to the State Board of Equalization. You'd have to do a legal separation of the church entity itself.
Sure.
And Ed Raymer.
Right.
So you'd have to have a separate legal entity out there that would be qualified. The ownership of all the property would have to be in the name of that organization, and that organization would have to qualify at the state board to be exempt.
I'd say it would probably help if I was ordained too, to be a minister.
you can do that on the internet, I think.
Well, I can now. I want you to know this, and this will make everyone. I shouldn't do this, really. You're not married, are you, Connor?
No.
Okay. I had some friends a couple years back, three, four years, whatever it's been. I don't know. And a fellow, because our father was an ordained minister, you know, and he wrote me, sent me a text, said, "Are you ordained?" And I guess he thought, since my father was, and I had mentioned that in passing, that it just automatically fell down through generations. Well, no, it doesn't, you know, and didn't want anything to do with it. I had other plans, okay? Believe me, I had other plans, so. But everybody, a lot of people in my family, a lot of the men, cousins, got a cousin, great pastor, great, great young man. Bless his heart, he does all of our funerals now. He's the only one left, you know, and Carrie does just fantastic job. And I said, no, he said, well, can you marry us? I said, no, I can't marry. He said, well, you're a notary public. I said, no, being a notary public does not allow me to marry anyone, you know. So, anyway, time went by, and he sent me a text, said, yes, you can marry us. I said, wait a minute. I mean, you're telling me, where did you get, and I picked up the phone call, and I said, wait a minute, you know, buddy, what? Because he's a friend of mine, and he and his, and now his wife both. And I officiated, so what we did, finally, I officiated their wedding. They got married by an ordained minister, okay, which I wanted to do. But their families, it was just a little small, quick, you know, ceremony. They wanted to get married. Fine. Okay. But later on, their family, her family was in California. A lot of his family was in California as well, too. And they were going to have an official ceremony where she had a nice dress and said, would you officiate? I said, I'd be honored to. And I did. Okay. And, you know, they wrote their own vows. And then, but I can, and I checked with Rick Spence, who is another reliable source of information in your office, I might say. And he is, really. I mean, you know, Rick's been
well, he's not in my office, but I wish he was.
He's downstairs. He's great. I'm telling you, he's great. And I said, you know, can I marry these people? He said, oh, yeah. Yeah. And what had happened is a lot of the county people didn't. When we had this homosexual thing, I'm just going to go ahead and say it, where they didn't want to marry two girls or two guys or whatever the case was, you know. And they said, and our governor and his emphatic wisdom kicked it on down the road and said, we'll let the notary publics do it. And I said, oh, thanks. So,
well, you can do something that I can't do.
I haven't done it yet, I'll tell you. I've always felt that should be left to an ordained minister, a marriage. I just, you know. Now, would I do it the way things are today? I would really consider it. Yes, I would, because times are different, you know. Hey, I need the money. And
side hustle.
Side hustle. Marrying people. Okay. Oh, you're already married. Well, come on, I'll marry you again anyway, you know. But, I don't know how that fit into the conversation. It's not going to make the county any money. Okay. You have left the Tennessee Association of Property Assessors.
Assessors.
What's going on?
Well,
if you can explain it.
Yeah, I mean, I've won awards from the organization.
Sure.
We, you know, there's a great deal of knowledge that you can obtain by being in the organization. But I felt a little bit uncomfortable for a couple of reasons. One is the association is tending to want to encourage assessors to classify single-family residential homes as commercial property. If an individual wealthy like yourself owned 2, 3, 4, 5, 20, 100, they're of the opinion that it should be commercial property.
Even
a regular live-in house
should be classified as commercial property. Okay.
And I felt uncomfortable with that. Outside of that, that was one thing that kind of, you know,
you didn't feel good about.
I didn't feel good with the direction. I still feel there needs to be further clarity. Every assessor would prefer clarity rather than a big gray area, which is where we are now.
Okay.
If you want it to be that way, define it clearly in statute that's how it should be.
Okay.
If you don't want it to be that way, define it clearly in statute. Don't simply rely on judges' opinions in particular instances. It's better than not having an opinion at all, but it's a judge's opinion, educated, well-founded, well-researched, but an opinion is always subject to review and being rescinded, as we have seen in Roe versus Wade.
Right, sure.
If it is not the power and the ultimate authority to set policy lies with the General Assembly. If the General Assembly says this is what you shall do, by golly, every assessor in the state, myself,
sure,
we will follow it to the letter.
But for an individual to do this is not, Now, this man that was the head of this, or is the head of this, is Will Denami, I believe?
Yes.
And his salary is somewhere in the area of $100,000 a year?
Actually, I don't know what he makes for the association. He makes that as the lobbyist for Rutherford County.
How can he be a lobbyist and still be a state officer?
He is the director of an association, and just in the course of stuff, I mean, that's an excellent question. I don't know the answer to it. I do know that out of my fiduciary responsibility, I thought it was prudent.
Okay.
Since I'm saying we don't need to, you know, everybody needs to watch what they're spending their money on.
Sure. As you have. Yeah.
So I requested of every organization of which the county taxpayers pays for our dues to provide me with certain financial information so that I could say our money is going here and this is a valid organization. I've done my fiduciary responsibility.
Of course.
So the International Association of Assessing Officers, which I have won an award from, I requested their information and they sent it to us. The Tennessee chapter of the International Association of Assessing Officers provided their information. The Tennessee Association of Property Tax Professionals provided their information. I have yet, the first request was back in August. I have yet to receive any information of any kind after three requests from the Tennessee Association of Assessing Officers. So I have separated Rutherford County from that until such time as they can provide us the correct information so we can rejoin.
Okay. Matt Davis asked me to ask you the hard questions.
Sure. Thanks, Matt.
Are they hard enough? Is that good enough, or you want me to get tougher with you?
Oh, no. I mean, hey, somebody please call in. I love these things.
I've had comments. Okay. Ed, this is from Carol Ann Elmore White. Carol Ann, thank you always for listening. But it says, Ed, Rob Mitchell is always a great guest, very knowledgeable. One from my cousin in Kentucky, which that would have no effect on anything we're talking about here. And people were tuning in. All of you that are listening in, thank you. I've got to the point I quit recognizing who, because I'm forgetting some people. You know, I've had people, you mentioned all those people last Sunday night, and you didn't mention me at all. Okay, all right. Yeah, I know, and you know, but I can't get to everyone.
Yeah, well, if anybody is listening out there, please, if you have questions, call or text in.
You're more than welcome to call.
Sure. I'm an open book. You know, I love talking with Ed, but he gets tired of hearing me talk.
Well, I think it's the other way around, but, you know, but this situation where a man is a lobbyist, that interests me. I don't know how you can be a lobbyist and still have a job. This gentleman is paid by the state? Is that correct?
No, he's paid by the Assessors Association.
The Assessors Association.
Right.
So
the
this
Assessors
is an association. Okay. And for whom he is a lobbyist.
Right.
Okay.
He lobbies for the Tennessee Assessors at the General Assembly. He lobbies for several different organizations.
What is he lobbying for? What's his purpose? To raise money?
For Rutherford County, I can't speak to the other counties, but I believe he was hired by Rutherford County to raise sources of revenue.
He was hired. Now, is he being paid by Rutherford County?
Yes. And that he's being paid $100,000 a year for.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And is he one of those that's in favor of this house going for a higher tax rate? In other words, it would be commercial, I think you said, instead of just residential or whatever. And is this in effect right now?
No.
No. Okay.
Well, we have a couple of counties that have gone that way, and their decisions are under appeal by the property owners.
Right.
So
sure.
They have seen no additional revenue from it because all it is required is that they pay the undisputed portion, which would be 25%. assessment.
Just like me and you do on our house.
Right.
Yeah,
right. They're not going to pay the additional until a court decision comes in and says, no, you're commercial, or no, you're residential. Either way, they're waiting on a court decision.
Has this been filed before the courts already? Do you think those two cases, just those two cases you mentioned? Or
They're in two counties near us that have done that. Some of them are condominiums.
Uh-huh.
Where they've taken the condominiums, and because somebody owns two condominiums.
Sure.
They've gone through and listed it that way. Some are townhomes that are adjacent to one another, but they have separate parcels.
Sure. Okay.
They're saying that because they're tangential, that they're against each other, the property lines touch, and it has a common ownership being operated as an economic unit, that it should be commercial property. So it's kind of getting the nose of the camel into the tent a little bit at a time. As you take a little bit, it moves further in and further in. It's an educational and coercion type of thing. Mm-hmm. Or coercion is probably the wrong term, but you have to convince assessors that this is a proper action to take.
And you do not feel it's a proper action.
I believe that the reason for fractional assessments, which is what we have in Tennessee, where everything is not assessed at 100% of the value, that the General Assembly had a reason to have families, dwellings for families, assessed at 25%. And I believe that reason was so that families could own property, could be good community members, could raise their families in a safe environment, could become more engaged in their community, in theory,
sure. Right.
Because they're invested in it. A rental car. Most people do not take care of rental cars when they rent cars and they go out of town.
True.
They run the wheels off of them. Rental properties, in a lot of cases, are the same. If somebody knows they're only going to be there for a year, they're not going to care about anything that happens to it because they're gone.
Sure.
And that's the same type of mentality that tends to permeate into the surrounding neighborhoods. They know they're not going to be there. They're not invested. They're not owning any of the community.
Right.
So they can just pick up and go whenever they want and leave. There's nothing to lock them in and invest them. And I believe that the founders of our Constitution were smart, well-thought individuals that were not looking for political points or for making revenue or for a soundbite. They thought this out. They fought it out, because constitutional conventions are not friendly.
Not as a rule.
No, they're not. They're not friendly things, because you are establishing the groundwork for everything with the Constitution. And they decided if somebody is living in there raising their family, we need to give them a concession.
Right.
And that's what they did.
And this takes us right back to where we started. You believe in home ownership. This is how we started our conversation an hour ago, or almost an hour ago. We're going to go to our last series of break. Rob Mitchell, your Rutherford County Property Assessor, is here with us. Connor's on the board. I'm Ed Raymer, back with you right after these quick words. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged followed, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Murphy Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Murphy Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag number run, or if you need someone full-fledged followed, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Murphy Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Murphy Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. All right, and we are back, and thank you, Connor, for a great job on the board. Our guest tonight is Mr. Rob Mitchell, and he's right at home here. What's new? What's going on? The new year started. What's up at the, as far as your office goes? How are things looking, everybody?
The big news was surpassing Hamilton County. It's been a long time coming.
It has. We've been on that razor blade for a while, you know, right, back and forth. Yeah, but it finally happened.
According to the UT Boyd Center,
yeah,
with their population estimates, they estimate that as of January the 1st, we're bigger.
Do you know, and this is not really your department, but do you know what our population is supposed to be, say, 10 years from now? Or because it changes all the time, you know, I mean,
at the current rate, now the percentages are going to slow down just because of larger numbers. But in 30 years, probably 500,000.
You said, well, 9,300 people moved here last year.
9,300.
Great day.
You know, so that's every 4 years, almost 40,000 people.
40,000 people.
So, yeah. I mean,
and our population is at
388,000.
It's at 388,000.
Yeah.
Wow, man. That's a bunch of people.
12 years ago when I took office, it was about 267,000.
When we moved here in 1980, the population of Rutherford County was roughly, I believe, and I'll stand corrected, around 25,000-26,000 people. I think. Wow, that's long. And then a few months later, they announced Nissan was going to be built, and man, we took off like a rocket.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, Nissan's talking about merging with Honda.
Yep.
And Nissan is under appeal. They've appealed their values, mm-hmm, and they believe that they're, we have them at about, 500,000, little under 500, $460 million in value.
Right.
The year before they came off of their 40-year pilot program, they self-valued, and they said that their plant, not the material in it, but just the main manufacturing plant, was worth $650 million.
That's the pilot program payment in lieu of taxes.
Right.
Right. Okay.
They have appealed, and they're saying that it's now, they believe its value is about $330 million. So that's about $100 million reduction that will be coming, and that's something that we're going to have to deal with. The county is going to have to assist us financially.
Yeah, and who determined? I wouldn't know where to start on that.
Well,
this is not just a regular piece of property. This is you talk about income producing property.
We'll have to hire specialists that
You will
that know how to value those type of manufacturing facilities, and they don't come cheap. But
and this is what I've always said too with the growth we've had. Those people to be hired, you don't get them for $9 an hour.
Oh, no.
I mean, you'd be lucky to get one for $9 a minute, probably. I mean, these are serious people. But that's what you pay when you're a growing
county. It's a cost of doing business.
It's a cost of doing business. Yes, it is.
Knox County.
And I don't like it either, but no, you don't either. You pay taxes just like I do.
Oh, yeah, and I don't like paying taxes.
Yeah.
I mean, who does? I mean, I'll pay them. But,
sure, we've talked about it before.
Yeah. I'd rather not pay what I have to pay, but, everything goes up, so, I'll pay it.
Sure,
Yeah, it's just part of it. It's one of the things. It's like if you want to be in the game, you have to pay.
You might get dirty.
Everybody has to pay.
If you want to play the football game, your uniform might get dirty.
I mean, that's just part of it. Everybody will say taxes, property taxes are theft. No, they're not.
They're not.
Well, you never own your property. No, that is true. You own the rights to do certain things on your property.
Right.
You own a bundle of rights. You can sell it. You can develop it. Only restricted by zoning, if there's zoning and legal requirements. You can give it to your heirs, or you can do nothing with it.
We've only got just a very few minutes left, and I meant to touch on this, and it's my fault. I failed to write down. Listeners are going to tag me over it. The program you and I discussed, putting some property up just for farmland.
Mm-hmm.
You have a name for that. I can't remember.
Greenbelt.
Greenbelt,
right.
Okay. You can live on it, you can farm it, you can sell it, but it will be in the Greenbelt. Now, once this is done, is this irrevocable?
Oh, no. You have to be actually farming.
Okay.
So, the theory is that you have to produce $1,500 a year in farm income.
Okay.
You may or may not, because some farmers don't make a profit. From one year, you may have a bad year, you may not make $1,500.
Yeah, right. Whatever the case is.
Then if you transfer the property, that's as if you have 15 or more acres, you owe the rollback taxes on it, which is the difference between the subsidy that you have, the lowered tax rate for use, as opposed to market. So,
sure.
They look back 3 years, and you have to pay the difference for 3 years. Now, that's transferable. You can transfer that to the owner because the lien actually goes against the property. But it's a personal debt. But Greenbelt, you can transfer that by contract to the new person coming in.
But the value of that property is then lowered, correct?
Right. It's lowered based upon...
And that's perfectly legal.
It's based upon the production schedules of the land grades. You have rotation crop, you have pasture, you have rocky scrubland.
Whatever,
It's a 62P is the number on it. I can't remember exactly right now what it's called, but it's cedars. You have a cedar glade.
Sure,
you can't really grow anything
sure.
on it, so you measure out how much. There's a production schedule that the state says... This type of rotation cropland can produce X amount of dollars per acre.
Right.
And then that's what it's valued at. You aggregate them together. It ends up being that you pay about a third of what it would be on market. So it's a two-thirds reduction.
Okay. Yeah. And it's perfectly legal. It's legal.
But the
key is it has to be farm. It has to be farm.
Yeah. Now, if you live there for 25 years, you fall under the family farm classification.
Sure.
And then you don't have to actively farm it. It's kind of, okay, you're a farmer, but farmers can retire too. We're going to allow you to continue that right there until whatever.
Okay. Well, you tell Russell Key tomorrow morning that Joni and I are growing a garden, and we're going to file this under what you just told.
You have to have 15 acres.
I think we've got that. I can. Me and Russell will work that out over a cup of coffee. No, he wouldn't do that for me. No. I don't think. But yeah, so that was the question that someone had asked about, and then it hit Facebook too.
Yeah,
that maybe in Rutherford County it's time to do that, but we're busy building schools. We've got to have property.
I mean, we have a lot of acreage in Greenbelt. Now there may be something else. There is it's conservancy, where you have to go through the state, and it's put into an agriculture conservancy with the state.
Go ahead.
You know, so that's another one right there.
I'm sorry about that. I was talking with Connor. Well, I want to tell you, I'm glad you had a good Festivus. Glad you had a good... And the airing of grievances went pretty well.
It's still airing.
No. Well, we'd have had them with the Raymer family, but there wasn't enough time. So anyway, Rob Mitchell has been our guest tonight. Connor's been on the board doing a great job. We're going to get out of the way and get our next show in here in just a second, a couple of minutes. I'm Ed Raymer for the Edwin Lee Raymer Show. Thank you all for being with us, as always. And until next Sunday night at 8 o'clock, I'll catch you down the road. Good night.